That's that seems to mean we're on, and go on. I hope you find the passage in your book. It's not easy in this chapter. Till I promise to give him, Bloom, the pair off my doll to carry about in his waistcoat pocket. You have to be there, otherwise you're lost. And then we begin to read it,
Oh, Maria Santissima, he did look a big fool, dripping in the rain. Splendid set of teeth he had, made me hungry to look at them. And beseeched of me to lift the orange petticoat I had on with sunray pleats. That was nobody, he said, he'd kneel down in the wet if I didn't. So persevering, he would too. Ruin his new raincoat. You never know what freak they'd take alone with you. They're so savage for it, if anyone was passing. So I lifted them a bit and touched his trousers outside the way I used to, Gardner, after was my ring hand, to keep him from doing worse where it was too public. I was dying to find out was he circumcised. He was shaking like a jelly all over. They wanted to do everything too quick, take all the pleasure out of it. And father waiting all the time for his dinner, he told me to say I left my purse in the butcher's and had to go back for it. What a deceiver. Then he wrote me that letter with all those words in it. How could he have the face to any woman after his company? Manners, making it so awkward after when we met, asking me, have I offended you, with my eyelids down. Of course he saw I wasn't. He had a few brains. Not like that other fool, Henny Doyle. He was always breaking or tearing something in the charades. I hate an unlucky man. And if I knew what it meant, of course I had to say no for form's sake. Don't understand you, I said. And wasn't it natural? So it is, of course. It used to be written up with a picture of a woman's on that wall in Gibraltar. That word I couldn't find anywhere. Only for children seeing it, too young. Then writing a letter every morning, sometimes twice a day. I liked the way he made love then. He knew the way to take a woman. When he sent me the 8 big poppies, because mine was the 8th. Then I wrote, the night he kissed my heart at Dolphin's Barn. I couldn't describe it simply. It makes you feel like nothing on earth. But he never knew how to embrace well, like Gardner.
Marion Bloom in the wooing time, he wanted the drawers. Then, O Maria Santissima, he did look a big fool, Bloom, dripping in the rain. Splendid set of teeth he had, made me hungry to look at them, and beseeched of me to lift the orange petticoat. Now, to beseech is a kind of formal way of saying, did he probably say, I beseech of you, in a formal way, to lift the orange petticoat. Don't forget, the petticoat would reach down very, very far. I had on, with a sunray pleats, that there was nobody, he said. He kneeled down in the wet, if I didn't. So persevering, Odysseus is persevering. He would too, and ruin his new raincoat. You never know what freak they take. Sometimes there's a remark about men in general, alone with you. They're so savage for it, if anyone was passing. So I lift them a bit and touch his trousers outside. The way I used to Gardner after with my ring hand. Now here, there's Gardner, the Lieutenant Gardner. She must have had some connection with him. He was a soldier, an officer perhaps, who went to the Boer War. That must have been a few years before. So that is something relatively recent. And as far as I can tell, Bloom hasn't mentioned it. Bloom doesn't seem to know about it. So during the war, when some soldiers were stationed in Dublin, she must have had a passing affair relationship with my ring hand to keep him from doing worse. And often you don't quite know, is she referring back to Bloom earlier or to Gardner later? Well, it was too public. I was dying to find out, was he circumcised? That's Bloom. And we know from earlier on, 17, the Northicker chapter, Bloom is not circumcised. He was shaking like a jelly all over, and you can see that in this relationship. And it probably happened to Joyce too. It was the woman, Nora or Molly, who took the initiative. They want to do everything too quick, take all the pleasure out of it. And father, that was her father, that was in Dublin with Bloom. Father waiting all the time for his dinner. She had obviously gone out and met Bloom. He told me to say, I left my purse in the butcher's and had to go back for it, an excuse. What a deceiver, and the deceiver is spelt with a capital D, that gives it some weight, Then he wrote me that letter with all those words in it. Obviously, most letters have words in them, but it obviously means some risky words. How he could have the face to any woman. And you realize in Bloom's exchange of letters with Martha Clifford, he also used a term about which she pretends to be angry. So that seems to be a thing, seeing how far you can go. How could I have the face to any woman after his company manners, making it so awkward after when we met, asking me, have I offended you with my eyelids down? Of course, I saw. He saw I wasn't offended. So this is kind of game of pretense. He had a few brains. Not like that other fool, Henny Doyle. These were the people there, family that they had parties in. We heard the name before. Henny Doyle, was always breaking or tearing something in the charades, the playing charades. And I hate an unlucky man. And if I knew what it meant, that's again, he said, Bloom, the word he wrote, do you know what it meant? It's anybody's guess what kind of word it is. Is it a strong one or a slight innuendo? Of course, I had to say no, for form's sake. Don't understand you, I said. And wasn't it natural? So it is, the word. Of course, it used to be written up with a picture of a woman's. So it must have been some sexual word, maybe a strong one, written up with a picture of a woman's on that wall in Gibraltar. With that word, I couldn't find anywhere. And of course, obscene words at that time were not listed in the dictionary. But I couldn't find anywhere. Only for children seeing it, too young. And then writing every morning a letter, sometimes twice a day. I liked the way he made love then. Make love doesn't have the sense of now. It obviously means just being in a closer relationship. So forget about the present thing. He knew the way to take a woman. Also, that we have to read in terms of before. When you sent me the 8 big poppies, because mine was the 8th, her birthday is the 8th of September, which is also a day in the Virgin Mary. Then I wrote, the night he kissed my heart at Dolphin's Barn. I don't quite know what kissed my heart exactly means. I couldn't describe it. Simply it makes you feel like nothing on earth. But he never knew how to embrace well, Bloom, like Gardner. I think that's how far we go.
I hope you'll come on Monday, as you said, at the same time. For I hate people who come at all hours. Answer the door, you think it's the vegetables, and it's somebody, and you all undressed. Or the door of the filthy, sloppy kitchen blows open. The day old frosty-faced Goodwin called about the concert in Lombard Street. And I, just after dinner, all flushed and tossed with boiling old stew. Don't look at me, Professor, I had to say. I'm a fright. Yes, but he was a real old gent in his way. It was impossible to be more respectful. Nobody to say you're out. You have to peep out through the blind like the messenger boy. Today I thought it was a put-off first. Him sending the port and the peaches first, and I was just beginning to yawn with nerves, thinking he was trying to make a fool of me, when I knew his tatter-a-tat at the door. He must have been a bit late, because it was 3:15 when I saw the 2 Daedalus girls coming from school. I never know the time. Even that watch he gave me never seems to go properly. I'd want to get it looked after. When I threw the penny to that lame sailor for England, Home and Beauty. When I was whistling, there is a charming girl I love. I hadn't even put on my clean shift or powdered myself for a thing then. This day week, we're to go to Belfast. Just as well he has to go to Ennis. His father's anniversary, the 27th. It wouldn't be pleasant if he did. Suppose our rooms at the hotel are beside each other. And any fooling went on in the new bed. I couldn't tell him to stop and not bother me with him in the next room. Or perhaps some Protestant clergyman with a cough, knocking on the wall. Then he wouldn't believe next day we didn't do something. It's all very well a husband, but you can't fool a lover. After me telling him we never did anything, of course he didn't believe me. No, it's better he's going where he is. Besides, something always happens with him. The time going to the Mallow concert at Maryborough, ordering boiling soup for the 2 of us, then the bell rang. Out he walks down the platform with the soup splashing about, taking spoonfuls of it. Hadn't he the nerve? And the waiter after him, making a holy show of us, screeching and confusion for the engine to start, but he wouldn't pay till he finished it. The 2 gentlemen in the 3rd-class carriage said he was quite right. So he was, too.
No. Oh, oh. But he never knew how to embrace well, like Gardner. That's where we stopped. I hope he'll come on Monday, Boylan. As he said, at the same time, 4 o'clock. I hate people who come at all hours, answer the door. It's interesting, we know what she means. People who come at all hours, you have to answer the door. You think it's the vegetables that you can order. Then it's somebody, and you all undressed. We know that Maury didn't dress very early. Or the door of the filthy, sloppy kitchen blows open. Hadn't he the nerve? Where is that now? Sorry. The day old frosty face Goodwin called. Goodwin is the old piano teacher that was mentioned. Goodwin called about the concert in Lombard Street. The concert was not in Lombard Street, but the Blooms lived in the early years of their marriage in Lombard Street. These were the good days. And I, just after dinner, all flushed and tossed with boiling old stew. "Don't look at me, Professor," I had to say. "I'm a fright." Yes, but he was a real old gent in his way. It was impossible to be more respectful. Nobody say you're out, that is it now. She has no servant to say you're out. You have to answer the door in person. You have to peep out through the blinds to see who it is. Like the messenger boy today, remember that Boylan sent some port and fruit in a basket by messenger. When she was waiting for Boylan, it was the messenger boy today. I thought it was a put off. First, him sending the port and the peaches first. And I was just beginning to yawn with nerves. It's quite interesting. Obviously, yawn with nervousness, but we understand it in a simple way. Thinking he was trying to make a fool of me. When I knew his Boylan, tat-a-tat at the door, you were the one knocker. He must have been a bit late, when we know that, because at 4 o'clock he was still seen in the Omen, because it was 3:15 when I saw the two Dedalus girls coming from school, and we saw that in the 10th chapter in The Wandering Rocks in Eccles Street, when the two Dedalus girls passed and she threw out a coin to the one-legged sailor. I never know the time. Even that watch he gave me never seems to go properly. Dublin was famous for no clock having the same idea of the time. And of course, clocks, they were often late or fast. It's not like now when we have it exactly. Never seemed to go properly. I'd want to get it looked after. When I threw the penny to that lame sailor, that's we heard in the 10th chapter. "For England, home and beauty," he sang, "the death of Nelson." When I was whistling, "There is a charming girl I love," that is a song. And I hadn't even put on my clean shift, some kind of underwear, or powder myself or a thing. Then this day week, we are to go to Belfast, she and Boylan, for our singing concert. Just as well he has to go to Ennis. He is Bloom, who goes for the anniversary of his father's death to Ennis. He goes south, she goes north. His father's anniversary, the 27th. It wouldn't be pleasant if he did. So again, if Bloom didn't have to go to his father's grave, it would have been natural for him and Molly to go to Belfast. And then Bloom and Molly would have been together in a hotel room and Boylan in the next one. It wouldn't be pleasant if he did. Suppose our rooms at the hotel were beside each other. And any fooling went on in the new bed in the hotel, where, of course, the bed would feel new. I couldn't tell him, that means obviously she, because she and Bloom would have the hotel room, and if there were anything, it would be good, and not bother me with him boiling in the next room, or perhaps some Protestant clergy with a cough knocking on the wall. Would have been more a very cheap hotel where you hear things easily. Then he'd never believe the next day, that must be Boylan. We, Bloom and Molly, didn't do something. It's all very well a husband, but you can't fool a lover. That's an old proverb. I found it even in Virgil long ago. So you can't fool a lover. After me telling him we never did anything, Molly must have said to Boylan, there's no more any relations. Of course, he didn't believe me. No, it's better he's going where he is. Besides, something always happens with him. The time going to the Mallow concert at Maryborough, so there was a concert, ordering boiling soup for the two of us. Then the bell rang, and that seems to be at the station where they perhaps changed, where you could order soup, and Bloom insisted on finishing the soup. That's how I understand it. The bell rang. Out he walks down the platform with the soup splashing about, taking spoonfuls of it. Hadn't he the nerve? And the waiter after him, making a holy show of us, screeching and confusion for the engine to start. But he wouldn't pay till he finished it. So there was some... But the two gentlemen in the third-class carriage said he was quite right. I realised there were three classes at the time. He was quite right. So he was two. No.
He's so pig-headed sometimes when he gets a thing into his head. A good job he was able to open the carriage door with his knife. Or they'd have taken us on to Cork. I suppose that was done out of revenge on him. Oh, I love jaunting in a train or a car with lovely soft cushions. I wonder, will he take a first class for me? He might want to do it in the train by tipping the guard. Well, oh, I suppose there'll be the usual idiots of men gaping at us with their eyes as stupid as ever they can possibly be. Who was an exceptional man? That common workman that left us alone in the carriage that day, going to Howth. I'd like to find out something about him. One or two tunnels, perhaps. Then you have to look out of the window. All the nicer then, coming back. Suppose I never came back. What would they say? Eloped with him. That gets you on the stage. The last concert I sang at, where? It's over a year ago. When was it? St. Teresa's Hall, Clarendon Street. Little chits of missies they have now singing. Kathleen Carney and her like. On account of her father being in the army and my singing the absent-minded beggar and wearing a brooch for Lord Roberts. When I had the map of it all. And Poldy, not Irish enough. Was it him managed it this time? I wouldn't put it past him. Like he got me on to sing in the Stabat Mater by going around saying he was putting lead kindly light to music. I put him up to that. Till the Jesuits found out he was a Freemason thumping the piano. Lead thou me on, copied from some old opera, yes. And he was going about with some of them Sinner Fein lately, or whatever they call themselves, talking his usual trash and nonsense. He says, that little man he showed me without the neck, is very intelligent, the coming man. Griffith, is he? Well, he doesn't look it, that's all I can say. Still, it must have been him. He knew there was a boycott.
So. So, the railway incident, third class, it was quite, I think it was due. He is so pig-headed sometimes when he gets a thing into his head. A good job. He was able to open the carriage door with his knife, or they'd have taken us to Cork. And I think in these British and Irish railway, the compartments were separate. There was one, and there were, that was locked. So... it wasn't like an open train where you can walk. They have taken to Cork. I suppose that was done out of revenge on him. Oh, I love jaunting in a train or a car with lovely soft cushions. I wonder, will he take a first class for me, Boylan going to Belfast? He might want to do it in the train. As I said, since there were separate compartments, it would have been possible, by tipping the guard well. Oh, I suppose there'll be the usual idiots of men gaping at us, with their eyes as stupid as ever they can, as ever they can possibly be. That was an exceptional man, that common workman that left us alone in the carriage that day going to Hoth. That must probably be with Broom, I take it, or a story we don't know. I'd like to find out something about him. One or two tunnels, perhaps. Of course, there's always a story what happens in a railway tunnel. Then you have to look out of the window. All the nicer than coming back. I suppose I never came back, didn't go back to Broom. What would they, people, say? Eloped with him. That is the thing what the newspaper would say. They eloped with him. That gets you on the stage. Of course, actresses and they have that kind of scandals. The last concert I sang at, where? It's over a year ago, so Molly hasn't been doing much singing recently. Over a year ago, when was it? St. Teresa's Hall, Clarendon Street. That is in Dublin, obviously there's a stage there. Little chits of misses they have now singing. Kathleen Kearney and her like. That links the book with the story Grace. A mother, where Kathleen Kearney is singing Irish songs and they have a concert and it fails completely. That is the story A Mother in Dubliners. Well worth rereading. Kathleen Kearney and her like. On account of father being in the army. And they say they were singing Irish songs, whereas Molly's father was in the British army, so that is not very Irish. And my singing the absent-minded beggar. The absent-minded beggar, it turns up very often, is a poem by Kipling, and where there's collected money for soldiers without any insurance. And a soldier in the Boer army was called, for whatever reason, an absent-minded beggar. And since Molly was singing basically also for the British side, that wouldn't have gone well against the nationalists. My singing the absent-minded beggar. You can look up this poem. And wearing a brooch for Lord Roberts. Lord Roberts was a general in the Boer War. So that is Britain, British Lord Roberts. When I had the map of it all. That's a cryptic thing. It may mean I had the map of Ireland all over my face, but it's not clear here. I don't really know what it means here. And Poldy, not Irish enough. Of course, he's not quite Irish. Was it him managed it this time? Boylan? I wouldn't pass it past. Put it past him. No, that, like he got me on to sing in the Stabat Mater. Molly sang quite a lot of religious church music. Stabat Mater. By going around saying he was putting lead kindly light to music. Lead Kindly Light is a hymn by Cardinal Newman, an important figure. He converted to Catholicism. He's a big name in Ireland, founded a university. And he had a poem, Lead Kindly Light, whether Bloom thought he would do that, I don't know. I put him up to that, till the Jesuits found out he was a Freemason. And of course, Catholicism and Freemasonry do not go together. And here it seems that Bloom really is or was a Freemason, because I was never quite sure. And I still don't know whether he was. He had some connection, they once helped him, Freemason. Thumping the Piano. Now that was not Bloom thumping the piano. Lead Thou Me On. That is lead kindly light. Clearly that's Jesus to kind of lead thou me on, the song. Copied from some old opera. Yes. And he was going about, Bloom, with some of them Sinn Féin lately. The movement called Sinn Féin, which means basically for Ireland for the Irish. And you know, it is still an acting party today, the Sinn Féin. But she doesn't know the plural. Sinn Féin, it was a new word for her lately. Or whatever they call themselves. Talk his usual trash and nonsense. He says, that little man he showed me, without the neck, is very intelligent. The coming man, and the coming man, and we heard the name, was Arthur Griffith. He founded the movement, Sinn Féin, Iron for Iron, and he became a leading member later on. And the party Sinn Féin. I think they're now in office, even though they're still there. But Griffiths was the new man, is he? The man without the neck. Well, he doesn't look it. That's all I can say. Still, it must have been him he knew. There was a boycott, if she remembers.
He knew there was a boycott. I hate the mention of politics after the war, that Pretoria and Ladysmith and Bloemfontein, where Gardner Lieutenant Stanley G, 8th Battalion, 2nd East Lancs Regiment of enteric fever. He was a lovely fellow, in khaki, just the right height over me. I'm sure he was brave too. He said I was lovely. The evening we kissed goodbye at the canal lock. My Irish beauty. He was pale with excitement about going away, or we'd be seen from the road. He couldn't stand properly, and I so hot as I never felt. They could have made their peace in the beginning, or old Oom Paul and the rest of the old Krugers go and fight it out between them instead of dragging on for years, killing any fine-looking men there were with their fever. He was even decently shot, it wouldn't have been so bad. Oh, I'd love to see a regiment pass in review. The first time I saw the Spanish cavalry at La Roque, it was lovely. After looking across the bay from Algeciras, all the lights of the rock, like fireflies, or those sham battles on the 15 acres. The Black Watch with their kilts in time at the march past. The 10th Hussars, the Prince of Wales' own, or the Lancers. Oh, the Lancers. Dear Grand. Or the Dublins that won Tugela. His father made his money over selling the horses for the cavalry. Well, he could buy me a nice present up in Belfast after what I gave. The lovely linen up there. One of those nice kimono things. I must buy a mothball like I had before to keep in the drawer with them. Be exciting going around with him, shopping, buying those things in a new city. Better leave this ring behind. I want to keep turning and turning to get it over the knuckle there. I might bell it round the town in their papers or tell the police on me. But they'd think we're married.
Now I have to find back. Oh, yeah. There was a boycott. I hate the mention of the politics after the Boer War. That Pretoria and Ladysmith and Bloemfontein, these were battles about various cities. And at first, the Boers, the South African Dutch, had the advantage, and then the English became successful. Where Gardner, Lieutenant Stanley G. 8th Battalion, 2nd East Lancashire Regiment. So she remembers this quite well, of enteric fever, because she must have read that in the papers, and that is probably how it stood there. That was his regiment. Regiments had names, Lancasters and things like that. It could also have been that she wrote letters to him at that address, of enteric fever. So he died of that, not in a battle. He was a lovely fellow in khaki. The Boer War was the first one where they gave up the shining red uniforms, the red coats and all of that, in favor of camouflage, of khaki that blends into the landscape, a kind of greenish-gray khaki. And just the right height over me. I'm sure he was brave too, he said. He said, "It was lovely the evening we kissed goodbye at the canal lock." Couples usually in Dublin, because there was no private privacy for ordinary people. So couples went along the canal, the canal lock. "My Irish beauty," the song. He was pale with excitement about going away. Or we'd been seen from the road. He couldn't stand properly. An eye so hot as I never felt. They could have made their peace in the beginning, meaning the British and the Dutch at the beginning. Or old Oom Paul, the Dutch, the South Africa, was governed by Oom, that's the Dutch word for uncle, Paul Kruger, and the rest of the other old Krugers. Go and fight it out between them, instead of dragging on for years, killing any fine-looking men there were with their fever. If he was even decently shot, it wouldn't have been so bad. This is a very unheroic death if we die of fever, not in battle. I love to see a regiment pass in review. The first time I saw the Spanish cavalry at La Roque, it was lovely. La Roque is just close to Gibraltar in Spain. And of course, people from Gibraltar went over to Spain to look at the Spanish cavalry. It was lovely after looking across the bay from Algeciras, and that is on the Spanish coast where you can see Gibraltar. All the lights of the rock, like fireflies. And those sham battles on the 15 acres. 15 acres are in Phoenix Park in Dublin, and they would have maneuvers, sham battles. The Black Watch with their kilts, that was obviously a Scottish regiment with her kilts in time at the march, past the 10th Hussars. I say the regiments had names. The Prince of Wales' own, yeah, the Prince of Wales officially also the commander of some regiment. Or the Lancers, soldiers, all the Lancers. It's also the name of a dance. They're grand. Or the Dublins that won Tugela, another battle. His father, and this is Boylan's father, we heard, made his money overselling the horses for the cavalry. So Boylan's father was dealing in horses. Well, he could buy me, Boylan, a nice present up in Belfast after what I gave him. They've lovely linen up there. Belfast was known for its industry. Ship yards. Or one of those nice kimono things. I must buy a mothball, like I had before, to keep in the drawer. With them, it would be exciting going round with him shopping, buying those things in a new city. And to leave this ring behind, want to keep turning and turning it over the knuckles there. Or they might bell it around the town, shout it around, make it public in their papers, or tell the police on me, because what Molly and Boyle are doing is basically illegal, immoral. But they think we're married. So,
let them all go and smother themselves for the fat lot I care. He's plenty of money and he's not a marrying man, so somebody better get it out of him. If I could find out whether he likes me. I looked a bit washy, of course, when I looked close in the hand glass powdering. A mirror never gives you the expression. Besides, scrooching down on me like that all the time with his big hip bones, he's heavy too, with his hairy chest, with his heat. Always having to lie down for them. Better for him to put it in me from behind, the way Mrs. Mastiansky told me her husband made her, like the dogs do it, and stick out her tongue as far as ever she could. And he's so quiet and mild with his ting-a-ting sither. Can he ever be up to men the way it takes them? Lovely stuff in that blue suit he had on, and stylish tie and socks with the sky-blue silk things on them. He's certainly well off, I know by the cut his clothes have, and his heavy watch. But he was like the perfect devil for a few minutes after he came back with the stock press, tearing up the tickets and swearing blazes because he lost 20 quid. He said he lost over that outsider, that one, and half he put on for me on account of Lenehan's tip, cursing him to the lowest pits. That sponger, he was making free with me after the Glencree dinner, coming back after that long jolt over the Featherbed Mountain after the Lord Mayor looking at me with his dirty eyes. Val Dillon, that big heathen. I first noticed him at dessert when I was cracking the nuts of my teeth. I wished I could have picked every morsel of that chicken out of my fingers. It was so tasty and brown and as tender as anything, only for I didn't want to eat everything in my plate. Those forks and fish slices were hallmarked silver too. I wish I had some. I could easily have slipped a couple into my muff when I was playing with them. And always hanging out of them for money in a restaurant for the bit you put down your throat.
I think we stop here. Yeah, I did have. Yeah. Tell the police on me that they think we're married. Oh, let them all go and smother themselves for the fat lot I care. He, Boylan, has plenty of money and he's not the marrying man. So somebody better get it out of him. if I could find out whether he likes me. I looked a bit washy, of course, when I looked close in the hand glass powdering. A mirror never gives you the expression. Besides, scrooching down on me like that all the time, with his big hip bones. He's heavy too, with his hairy chest, for this heat. Always having to lie down for them. Better for him, put it into me from behind. Here we get some techniques. The way Mrs. Mastiansky told me her husband made her, like the dogs do it. So obviously she had some exchange of what they were doing with another married woman, Mastiansky. Good. And stick out her tongue as far as ever she could. Seems to be a bit wasted to me because the man at the back couldn't see that, but there you go. And he's so quiet and mild with his tin-gating scissor, a scissor instrument. Can you ever be up to men? The way it takes them. Lovely stuff in that blue suit he had on. We know that Boylan had a blue serge suit, a stylish tie, and socks with the sky blue silk things on them. We heard that, and these ornaments on socks are called clocks, and we heard that before, but of course she, as we, didn't know this particular word, clocks, blue silk things on them. He's certainly well off. I know by the cut his clothes have. And his heavy watch. He has a watch. But he was like a perfect devil for a few minutes after he came back with the stop press. Remember, they were selling the stop press edition of the Evening Telegraph with the results of the races. And of course, Boylan had taken Lennon's tip to bet on the favourite Scepter, but we know the outsider won, and so he was angry about the money he had wasted for himself and for Molly, for about £1 or so. He came back with a stop press, tearing up the tickets, and we remember from the previous chapter in Bloom's Kitchen, the torn tickets were lying on the dresser. They got those tickets and swearing blazes because he lost 20 quid. 20 quid. Somebody could just live about for 50 quid a year. So again, that is quite a substantial sum, and you can well be angry also about the man who gave you the tip. He said he lost over that outsider, that one. And half he put on for me, on account of Lennon's tip. Lennon is the one who gave out the favourite. Cursing him to the lowest pitch, that sponger. Lennon is a sponger, always carrying her a cigarette or a free drink. He was making free with me after the Clankery dinner. We heard that from Lennon himself, who told a story how after the dinner, as they were on top of a car in the cold winter with winter clothes on, that Lennon used to take some liberties with Molly. So we know that from both sides. Coming back, that long jolt over the Featherbed Mountain. This is a name. There's a name called Featherbed Mountain. After the Lord Mayor looking at me with his dirty eyes, while Dylan, that be heathen, so that was a Lord Mayor in Dublin, who also had his eyes on her. And you remember in the previous chapter where we have a list that looks like a list of Molly's lovers, but it isn't. It is obviously men who were attentive to her. So here he comes up again. I first noticed him at dessert when I was cracking the nuts with my teeth. I wished I could have picked every morsel of that chicken. That must have been a very good dinner, out of my fingers. It was so tasty and browned and as tender as anything. Only, for I didn't want to eat everything on my plate. Obviously, that isn't good manners. Those forks and fish slices were hallmarked silver, too. I wish I had some. And the joke, of course, is always that you steal the silverware afterwards. I wish I had some. I could easily have slipped a couple into my muff when I was playing with them. Then always hanging out of them for money in a restaurant. For the bit you put down your throat, so he thinks of eating out in restaurants.
Half the girls in Gibraltar never wore them either. Naked as God made them, that Andalusian singing her Manola, she didn't make much secret of what she hadn't. Yes, and the second pair of silket stockings is laddered up.
This is now a little bit later. I don't know why.
After one day's wear, I could have brought them back to Lourdes this morning and kick up a row and made that one change them, only not to upset myself and run the risk of walking into him and ruining the whole thing. One of those kid-fitting corsets I'd want, advertised cheap in The Gentlewoman, with elastic gores on the hips. He saved the one I have, but that's no good. What do they say? They give a delightful figure line. 11 and 6. Obviating that unsightly broad appearance across the lower back to reduce flesh. My belly is a bit too big. I'll have to knock off the stout at dinner. Or am I getting too fond of it? The last they sent from O'Rourke's was as flat as a pancake. He makes his money easy. Larry, they call him. The old mangy parcel he sent at Christmas, a cottage cake and a bottle of hogwash he tried to palm off as claret that he couldn't get anyone to drink.
I'm a bit confused. Be confused because some lines are out of order here. So what I read may not be what all of you have. They must have changed a few things. We have to be thankful for our mangy cup of tea itself. That itself is an Irish construction that I have. The itself has a great compliment to be noticed, the way the world is divided. In any case, if it's going to go on, I want at least two other good sneezes, for one thing, but I don't know what kind of drawers he likes. Drawers would be under clothes. None at all, I think, didn't he say? Yes, and half the girls in Gibraltar never wore them either. Nature as God made them. That Andalusian singing her Manola, she didn't make much secret of what she hadn't. Yes, and the second pair of silkette stockings is laddered. After one day's wear, I could have brought them back to Lewis this morning and kicked up a row and made that one change them, only not to upset myself. Run the risk of walking into him and ruining the whole thing. And one of those kid-fitting corsets I'd want, advertised cheap in The Gentlewoman, obviously a fashion magazine, with elastic gores in the hips. He saved the one I have, but that's no good. What did they say? They'd give a delightful figure line. 11 and shillings and sixpence. That is a kind of advertising line. They give a delightful figure line. Obviating that unsightly broad appearance across the lower back to reduce flesh. So that seems to be the advertisement, and you realize the kind of circumscribing things, obviating against that unsightly broad appearance across the lower back. Obviously, you had stays and corsets to pull things together to reduce flesh. My belly is a bit too big. I'll have to knock off that stout at dinner, or I'm getting too fond of it. The last ascent from O'Rourke, remember, is the public house at the corner of Eccles and Dorset Street, where Bloom passes in the morning. There's still a pub there. It's changed owners, of course. The last sent from O'Rourke's. It was as flat as a pancake. He makes his money easy. Larry, they call him. They call him Larry. Maybe they call him Easy Larry. His name is Larry O'Rourke. And I still remember on my first trip to Dublin in the 60s, at the pub that had changed its name, I still saw a window that had this kind of glass with an L-O-R, Lawrence O'Rourke. And I was quite happy to see that. Larry, they called him. The old mangy parsley sent at Christmas, the pub keeper sends them some beer, Christmas, a cottage cake and a bottle of hogwash. He tried to palm off as claret, red wine, that he couldn't get anyone to drink.
God spare us, spit for very dire droughts. I must do a few breathing exercises. I wonder if that anti-fat any good might overdo it. Thin ones are not so much the fashion now. God, yes, that much I have. A violet pair I wore today. That's all he bought me out of the check he got in the first. Oh, no. There was a face lotion I finished the last of yesterday. It made my skin like new. I told him over and over again, get that made up in the same place and don't forget it. God only knows whether he did after all I said to him. I'll know by the bottle anyway. If not, I suppose I'll only have to wash in my piss, like beef tea or chicken soup, with some of that opopanax and violet. Thought it was beginning to look coarse or old a bit. The skin underneath is much finer where it peeled off there on my finger after the burn. It's a pity it isn't all like that. And the four paltry handkerchiefs, about 6 shillings in all. They're all so different. Boylan, talking about
There seems to be a
technical problem.
Something. Well, maybe I'll just read it now.
Just a moment until I found.
Pardon?
Just a moment until I found the.
You found it?
No, not at the moment.
Okay, so I'll do it and I will see. You say we're back in track again. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
God spare his spit for fear he die of the drought. That sounds like an Irish saying. Or I must do a few breathing exercises. I wonder, is that anti-fat any good? Might overdo it. The thin ones are not so much in the fashion now. Garters, that much I have. the violet pair I wore today. Bloom has been thinking about Molly's violent gorgeous all along. That's all he bought me out of the check he got on the first. So Bloom got paid on the first and got her some violet gorgeous. Oh no, there was the face lotion. I finished the last of yesterday. That made my skin like new. I told him over and over again to get that made up in the same place. And we know that is what Bloom did, because he went to that chemist and ordered the lotion, but he didn't take the bottle because you can't carry a bottle to a funeral, and he forgot to pick it up. By the way, that chemist called Svenis went back, and that is now where people in Dublin do their Joyce readings. That's the equivalent of the Joyce. The chemist is long gone, but they kept it going and even preserved the building. So if you ever go to Dublin, and we certainly looked in at our time, you have to visit Svenis in Lincoln Place, still there. I told him over and over again to make it up in the same place, and don't forget it. God only knows whether he did it. Obviously, he hasn't said anything. After all, I said to him, I know by the bottle anyway. If not, I suppose I'll only have to wash in my piss. That was already thought to be good. Like beef tea or chicken soup. Or some of that opoponax. That must have been a relatively cheap perfume. We have a little bottle in the foundation without any content. Opoponax and violet. I thought it was beginning to look coarse or old a bit. The skin underneath is much finer where it peeled off. There on my finger after the burn. Obviously, Molly burned the finger and the skin came off. It's a pity it isn't all like that. And the four paltry handkerchiefs, about 6 shillings in all.
I've got it again.
Sure. You can't get on in this world without style. All going in food and rent when I get it.
Fritz.
I lash it around. I tell you, in fine style. I always want to throw a handful of tea into the pot, measuring and mincing. I suppose Bloom is rather economic and doesn't want.
I've got it again.
You're back?
Yeah.
Okay.
I start in line 468.
She can't get on in this world without style. All going in food and rent. When I get it, I lash it around, I tell you, in fine style. I always want to throw a handful of tea into the pot. Measuring and mincing. If I buy a pair of old brogues itself. Do you like those new shoes? Yes. How much were they? No clothes at all. The brown costume and the skirt and jacket. And the one at the cleaners. 3. What's that for any woman? Cutting up this old hat and patching up the other. The men won't look at you, and women try to walk on you because they know you've no man. Then with all the things getting dearer every day, for the 4 years more I have of life up to 35, what am I at all? I'll be 33 in September, will I? What? Oh, well, look at that Mrs. Gilbraith. She's much older than me. I saw her when I was out last week. Her beauty's on the wane. She was a lovely woman. Magnificent head of hair and her down to her waist. Tossing it back like that Kitty O'Shea in Grantham Street. First thing I did every morning to look across, see her combing it as if she loved it and was full of it. Pity I only got to know her the day before we left. And that Mrs. Langtree, the Jersey Lily, the Prince of Wales was in love with. I suppose he's like the first man going the roads, only for the name of a king. They're all made the one way. Only a black man's I'd like to try. A beauty. Up to what was she? 45. There was some funny story about the jealous old husband. What was it all? And an oyster knife. He went, no, he made her wear a kind of a tin thing around her. And the Prince of Wales, yes, he had the oyster knife. Can't be true, thing like that. Like some of those books he brings me. The works of Master Francois, somebody supposed to be a priest, about a child born out of her ear because her bum gut fell out. A nice word for any priest to write. And her A-M-M-E, as if any fool would know what that meant.
No.
Sorry.
So. Yeah, I got lost a bit, and maybe you did too, so we'll see. I just read on from what I have, and you may slowly fall into it, and I can. I tell you in fine style, I always want to throw a handful of tea into the pot. We heard that, measuring and mincing. I'll buy a pair of old brogues or shoes itself. Do you like those new shoes? Yes. How much were they? I've no clothes at all. The brown costume and the skirt and jacket and the one at the cleaners. 3. What's that for any woman? Cutting up this old hat and patching up the other. The men won't look at you and women try to walk on you because they know you've no man. Then with all the things getting dearer every day, for the 4 years or more, I have of life up to 35. No, I'll be 33 in September, will I? So that's Wilhelm's birthday. Will I what? Oh, well. Look at that Mrs. Galbraith. She's much older than me. I saw her when I was out last week. Her beauty's on the wane. She was a lovely woman. Magnificent head of hair on her, down to her waist, tossing it back like Kitty O'Shea in Grantham Street. There's somebody who looks like Kitty O'Shea in the street. Now, Kitty O'Shea was the mistress of Parnell. She was married and she had an affair with him. And he then died and she lived. So she is the bad woman who brought Parnell, the Irishman, down. But that is somebody who just looked like her in Grantham Street. First thing I did every morning to look across, see her combing it as if she loved it. So somebody with long hair and was full of it. Pity, I only got to know her the day before we left. And that Mrs. Langtry, the Jersey Lily, and that's a well-known thing, the Duke of Wales, who later became King Edward, was a well-known womanizer. We also saw him in the brothel, by the way. And he had a well-advertised affair with an actress, Mrs. Langtry. She was called the Jersey Lily. And it was an open secret about that. And the newspapers were full of it. The Prince of Wales was in love with. I suppose he's like the first man going the road, nothing special about him, only for the name of a king. They're all made the one way. Only a black man's I'd like to try. They're all the same, but of course the blacks are different. A beauty up to, what was she? 45. So she was really a well-known beauty, often in the newspapers. there was some funny story about a jealous old husband. She was married. Husband, what was it at all? Like an oyster knife? He made her wear a kind of thin thing round her. That sounds, I don't quite know what the story was. And the rumor, obviously, he must have provided her with a sort of chastity affair that you couldn't easily, made her wear it around her. And the Prince of Wales, yes, he had the oyster knife. That's probably what you deal with in this. I can't think it is very comfortable if you have to wear a metal thing. But those were the stories. And of course, they're full of rumors. Oyster knives can't be true, a thing like that. Like one of those books he brings me, the works of Master François somebody, that is what's the French writer, Pantagruel, forget, Rabelais, it's a kind of older story full of gross things that was available. Rabelais, Master François somebody, supposed to be a priest, about a child born out of her ear, because her bum gut, diaphragm or whatever, fell out. A nice word for any priest to write. And her, and it was customary, and it probably helped you against censorship in the law, if there was a name or a dirty word, and you didn't write it out, but put in some hyphens. Obviously, arse is the word. As if any fool wouldn't know what that meant. So Molly read a little bit of Rabelais.
That pretending. Of all things, with the old blackguard's face on him. Anybody can see it's not true. And that ruby and fair tyrants, he brought me that twice. I remember when I came to page 50, the part about where she hangs him up out of a hook. With a cord, flageolet. Sure, there's nothing for a woman in that. All invention made up. About he drinking the champagne out of her slipper after the ball was over. Like the infant Jesus in the crib at Inchicore in the Blessed Virgin's arms. Sure, no woman could have a child that big taken out of her. And I thought first it came out of her side. Because how could she go to the chamber when she wanted to? And she a rich lady. Of course, she felt honoured. H.R.H. He was in Gibraltar the year I was born. I bet he found lilies there too, where he planted the tree. He planted more than that in his time. He might have planted me too if he'd come a bit sooner. Then I wouldn't be here as I am. He ought to chuck that Freeman with the paltry few shillings he knocks out of it. Go into an office or something, where he'd get regular pay, or a bank where they could put him up on a throne to count the money all the day. Of course, he prefers pluttering about the house, so you can't stir with him any side. What's your programme today? I wish he'd even smoke a pipe like father to get the smell of a man, or pretending to be mooching about for advertisements when he could have been in Mr. Cuff's still only for what he did, then sending me to try and patch it up. I could have got him promoted there to be the manager. He gave me a great marauder once or twice. First he was as stiff as the mischief, really and truly, Mrs. Bloom. Only I felt rotten simply with the old rubbishy dress that I lost the leads out of the tails, with no cut in it. But they're coming into fashion again. I bought it simply to please him. I knew it was no good by the finish. Pity I changed my mind of going to Todd and Burns, as I said.
No, I think we stop here then, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hate that pretending of all things. With that old blackguard's face on him, anyone can see it's not true. That book, the Rabelais book. And that ruby, that's the book she had read in the morning, Ruby, the Pride of the Ring. remember, that Bloom looked at. And Fair Tyrants, that is another title. And you can see from the title, there's a touch of masochism in it there. He bought me that twice. I remember when I came to page 50, the part about where she hangs him up, there were quite a lot of light pornography of that sort. Out of a hook with a cord, flagellate. That's the technical term. Flagellate is you beat somebody, and that is, of course, one of the masochistic pleasures. Flagellation is a standard in certain pornography. Sure, there's nothing for a woman in that. All invention made up. About he drinking the champagne out of her slipper. That's, of course, an old thing, that men drink champagne out of women's room after the ball was over. Sounds a bit like Cinderella to me, too. Like the infant Jesus in the crib at Inchy Core. That's part of Dublin. And the Blessed Virgin's arms. Sure, no woman could have a child that big taken out of her. So there seems to be a statue. I haven't seen a picture with a relatively big babies. And you know, babies in paintings are often very big. And I thought first it came out of her side. Because how could she go to the chamber when she wanted to? And she, a rich lady, of course, she felt honored. His Royal Highness, he was in Gibraltar, so the Prince of Wales, Gibraltar, the year I was born. I bet he found lilies there too, like Lily Langtry. The actress was called the Jersey Lily. That's where the lilies come from. Quite different, by the way, from the religious lilies in the first chapter. Where he planted the tree. He planted more than that in his time. He might have planted me too, if he'd come a bit sooner. Then I wouldn't be here as I am. He, that's now again Bloom, he ought to chuck that Freeman, the journal he works for, with a paltry few shillings. He knocks out of it and go into an office or something where he'd get a regular pay, or a bank where they could put him up on a throne to count the money all the day. Of course, he prefers pluttering about the house, so you can't stir with him at any side. What's your program today, he would ask us. I wish he'd even smoke a pipe like father to get the smell of a man. Or pretending to be mooching about for advertisements. She doesn't think much of that profession, obviously. When he could have been in Mr. Cuff's, Bloom was once working for a cattle dealer, Cuff. We heard that from time to time, but he lost the job, as we hear, it says, for giving lip to a grazer. Probably, as far as we can reconstruct it, he probably told the client not to maltreat an animal, Bloom, and of course he lost the job because you don't do that to clients. That seems to be behind it. Mr. Cuffs, still only for what he did then, sending me to try and patch it up. And when he lost the job, he sent his wife to make it up. I could have got him promoted there to be the manager. He is now Cuff, the employer, not Bloom. He gave me a great mirada, must be a Spanish word, for a look, once or twice. Yes. He was a stiff but mischief. Really and truly, Mrs. Bloom, only I felt rotten simply with the old rubbishy dress that I lost the leads out of the tails, with no cut in it. But they're coming into fashion again. I bought it simply to please him. I knew it was no good by the finish. Pity. I changed my mind of going to Todd and Burns, that's a department store, as he said. But then I just go on now. And not Lee's, another department store. It was just like the shop itself. Rummage sale, a lot of trash. I hate those rich shops. Get on your nerves. Nothing kills me altogether. Only he thinks he knows a great lot about the woman's dress and cooking, mathering everything he can, scour off the shelves into it, and Bloom cooks. If I went by his advices, every blessed hat I put on, does that suit me? Yes, take that. You can imagine a man being a bit impatient when a woman buys a hat, as they had to at the time. That's all right. Like the one like a wedding cake, standing got miles off my head. He said it suited me. Or the dish cover one, coming down on my backside, on pins and needles, about the shop girl in the place in Grafton Street. That is the shopping street. I had the misfortune to bring it into a and she, as insolent as ever she could be, with her smirk, saying, I'm afraid we're giving you too much trouble. So when she was angry with the shop girl, Bloom was playing the polite man and said, I'm afraid we're giving you too much trouble. What's she there for? But I stared it out of her. Yes, he was awfully stiff, and no wonder. But he changed the second time he looked. Poldy, pig-headed as usual, like the soup, the event in the station. But if I could see him looking very hard at my chest, that is again Mr. Duff, she's coming back to that, at my chest, the door for me, it was nice of him to show me out. In any case, I'm extremely sorry, Mrs. Bloom. Believe me, without making it too marked, the first time after him being insulted and my being supposed to be his wife, I just half smiled. I know my chest was out that way at the door when he said, I'm extremely sorry, I'm sure you were. Yeah, and that's a place then to stop. So we do this next time. Yeah, and we come to another movement. So we have done to. Okay. Thanks then. And next week. No.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.